You're listening to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's the best kind of gossip on demand every week. Girl talk, no filter. Here's your sis, Alessandra G.
Welcome back to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's your sis, and I want to wish you all a very happy Friday. Today we have a special segment of Friday Features, but before we get into that, this podcast is kindly sponsored by DistroKid. Musicians, producers, artists, I'm looking at you. DistroKid is the best music distribution service out there, and I promise you that. It will get your music on the top streaming platforms like Tidal, Spotify, Apple Music, you name it. And besides having unlimited uploads, artists keep 100% of their earnings. And DistroKid has more features than any other music distributor. You heard that right. Here are some features I'd like to highlight for you. Spotify pre-save, a verified checkmark on Spotify, instantly when you sign up, payments from YouTube, and so much more. Plus, you can even split your earnings with collaborators all through the service. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for DistroKid and use my code distrokid.com/VIP/alwaysalessandra for 7% off your first year's membership. That link is in the description of this episode and on my link tree, which is all over social media. You can find it everywhere and anywhere. Today we're chatting with Sad Alex. She just released her brand new EP, Cry Dancing, and when I tell you, it's a whole mood. Alex is opening up about dream collaborations, her songwriting process, going viral on TikTok, so much more. This is an exclusive segment of Friday Features.
Welcome to Friday Features. Get to know your favorite artists, influencers, and musicians exclusively on That's the Tea with Alessandra G.
We're back with Sad Alex. Alex, how's it going today? How are you doing with everything going on? COVID, concerts, festivals, so much. How's it going?
Oh, man. That's so many things to cover at the top right here. Hello. I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm alive and healthy, and that's good. And yeah, I just went to a COVID music festival. That's the worst way to say it. A music festival mid-COVID this weekend. And it was like, I mean, they did it. They put it on. It definitely required a lot more. There was a lot more protocols to get it to go all smoothly, but I'm glad they pulled it off. It was head in the clouds in LA. So that was great. And yeah, I'm just out here doing my thing, working on music.
We love to hear it. And I know you have your brand new EP, Crying Dancing, What a Mood, coming out so soon. By the time this comes out, we'll already be out. So first off, I love the name. What inspired you to name the EP Crying Dancing? And I got to listen to it before it came out, everyone. And I'll tell you right now, you better go listen to it because it's amazing.
Thank you so much. That's so nice. The song, because Cry Dancing is the title track of it. And that was written with some people in LA, maybe like 2.5 years ago, with it's a production duo called Heavy and Alex Ganea. He's a producer and a mix engineer. And I wanted to write something that like empowered crying in a way that I hadn't heard before. Cause for me, it's something that like I cry a lot. It's a very normal thing for me. It's something I take pride in it. Not take pride, that's kind of weird, but like it's something that I think it's necessary. I don't try to run away from it. Like if you need to cry, you got to let it out. You don't want to keep on pushing that stuff down because it's just going to come back up. Sometimes it can feel really good, and sometimes it can actually get you through. Maybe you can like laugh about it midway through or afterwards, or it can kind of get you through something that you're working on. And so I think crying is a very good thing. So I wanted to write something that was kind of like your own personal pity party in the most dramatic way. And that was what that song was about for me. And there's a lot of really cheeky lyrics in there about that, and just the kind of visuals and the idea of like wrapping yourself in your sheets and making a ball gown out of it and like creating your very fancy, exclusive pity party just for yourself.
Yeah, I don't even know why I was saying crying dancing. I know it's cry dancing, but like every time I hear it, I'm like, yes, crying dancing. I don't know why I'm on that wave, but those are the feelings that come with listening to it, guys. So I'm renaming it for myself.
You could be the smart one, because the thing is, I wrote this like 2.5 years ago, and I was like, oh man, like I'm the most original person on this planet. My ideas are so crazy and so original. And then I wrote this, and then I think like 2 months later or something, Nina Nesbitt and NOTD and stuff put out a song called Cry Dancing. And I was just like, damn, I'm not original. I got no ideas.
I know. No, no, you are. You are. I think it's just like great minds think alike type of thing, you know? And I remember that song. And then I was like, okay, cry dancing, crying dancing, whatever. Well, it's all a vibe. I love it.
I think that's something like from the songwriting side, we're always, you know, searching around, checking titles and like seeing what songs are on New Music Friday. And if anyone has any like clever ideas that like, you know, like not really blow our minds or whatever. Or for me, I really try to be as original as I can. I'm like, oh man, there's no song called this. I want to write this song, whatever. You'll go check something. And then the biggest song that comes out the following week is called like Heartbreak. And you're just like, damn, like maybe I shouldn't worry about this so much. Cause it seems to, you know, seems to be just fine. As long as the song's good, it really doesn't matter. You can call it whatever you want. As long as the song's good and connects with people. The title stuff, that's just some songwriter ego shit that we need to let go.
No, for real. Because I just want to hear the songs. Like, I don't care what I have to type in to get to it. I totally agree with you there. But no, I love it. So
thank you.
Of course. And I know that that EP has like bop after bop. I love saying that because truthfully it does. But one song that did blow up on social media, specifically TikTok, I know you know what I'm going to talk about. IBTC, Itty Bitty Titty Committee, so iconic, so genius. There are tons of remixes and people are still using the song and sound for videos and content. Did you expect that response to come from people online?
No. I mean, I think the thing is, and at the end of the day with this, with TikTok in particular, thank you, by the way, that was all very nice of you to say. It's a really unpredictable platform. And I think for me too, when I'm in my head and making a lot of those things on my own, it's hard for me to discern what is a better, more quote unquote viral idea from one to the next. And I've put up stuff that I was like, damn, this shit's gonna kill on there. Like, this is like the best thing I've ever, this is so funny. And it just flops massively and it just like sits out there like a dying fish, like in the sand. And then that one I put, and this is kind of, it is, it goes to show for like a lot of times the ideas that don't take a lot of effort are typically, you know, the more they sound like they didn't take a lot of effort. They sound really natural, whatever it is. And that was one that I had actually, I was leaking a song that I had written that week that I'm actually, that's actually on the project too, called Come Over. And I was leaking that song by just like, you know, kind of lip syncing to it, dancing to it, whatever. And at the end of the video, I had a nip slip, like an actual nipple out in video that I had not realized when I was putting this video up on TikTok. And then it started to get a little bit of traction. This was like the video before. When I realized what had happened, I called my manager, Mila. I was like, oh my God, like I just, and my first thought was like, oh my God, I had a nip slip on TikTok. Is this bad? Like, should I, am I going to like, whatever? And then I realized, I was like, wait, I don't care at all. I really don't care about nipples. I'm okay with it. and he was like, look, as long as you're okay, if the video's doing well, TikTok will take it down at some point. Like, live your life. Like, it's more what you feel comfortable with. If you want to take it down, fine. If you don't, like, whatever. And I was like, cool. And then one of the comments was IBTC referencing my, you know, not super well endowed in the chestular region. And I was like, oh, that's funny. Like, I remember people saying that in like high school, middle school stuff. So like, I was like, I bet I could just write a quick song about it. And it took me probably 20 minutes. And I thought it was dumb, stupid, just another, it for me, I was almost just like, let me just check my box of like doing my TikTok for the day. And I like it when people give me ideas, like those comments make my job easier because I'm just like, okay, cool, here's an idea. I can take that idea and turn it into something. Because sometimes coming up with both the idea and the actual thing can be a lot of pressure to do every single day. So I was like, oh, great. So here's the idea, did the thing, put it up, didn't think anything of it. Like, it was really just another thing. It was a reply to a comment. It was not a huge video effort. It was shot on my phone. Yeah, and it was really the first taste of like actual virality that I've received, because I saw it start to kind of get some traction. I texted like my team and I was like, hey, this is like starting to get like some views on it. And we all were like, yeah, it'll probably cap out at like a couple hundred thousand or something. Like, we were all very like not even like putting like positive energy into it. We're like, yeah, it'll probably stop soon. And then it was just like 1 million and like 2 million and then 3 and then 4, and we're just like, oh shit. And it was really, the next day I was like, well, I think I'm supposed to like milk this a little bit, so I'll And people were like, we want an open verse. And even my team, they're like, yeah, I don't know if you need to post an open verse thing. It probably doesn't matter. And I was like, I'm just going to do it, whatever. Post the open verse thing. And that went more, that it was wild to me how many people were engaging with it and singing along with it. And I thought it was also interesting how it was a lot of men that were doing it and like really trying to encourage this like positive body image and stuff. And I would say 99.5% of all the comments that I got across the board from all the videos that came were all positive. And that's really rare, I think, for any sort of internet virality. You're usually going to be dealing with a lot of negativity as a part of that. And I was really grateful and like lucky that like those moments were really just totally positive. Everyone was very supportive. Everyone was like, it was really just like a handful of trolls in there. So I can deal with a handful of trolls that I can manage. I was surprised and pleasantly surprised. And it's great. It's kind of opened up a whole new door for my comedic songwriting and stuff. And that's the end of my TED talk here, guys. That's all I got on that.
That's all Sad Alex, the keynote speaker of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, has to say. That's it.
That giant rant is all I have to say.
I love it. I thought it was great. And I wasn't surprised to see it like blow up in the way that it did, because you're right. It's crazy. I see videos on TikTok that I'm like, this is genius. This is amazing. And then I look and it's like, it's got 50 likes. And I'm like, what? How? Yeah. And then you scroll down and something so stupid has like a million likes. So it sucks that, you know, some stuff gets overlooked, but when stuff deserves to blow up and then it does, it's amazing. Congratulations on that success and everything that came out of that nip slip. Did they ever take down that TikTok?
They did. They took down that TikTok. It's interesting though. It did live up there for quite some time and there was a lot of people alerting. You would think that that would have triggered something to get taken down sooner, but it lived up there for probably 6 or 8 hours or something like that.
Oh wow, because you know they always get me for something, and I'm always intrigued to hear the stories of how long it takes for them to get other people, because for me I'll like start a live stream or do something stupid and they're like, you've been blocked for a week.
That the problem with that, the IBTC stuff, I was really trying to stay engaged and comment with people and interact, but it was interesting because the song itself, the lyrics that were in there, which were pretty suggestive, and obviously there's the word titty in there and all sorts of stuff. If I would comment and say titty, if I would comment with even like someone commented with a peach emoji, like anything like that, it would get flagged. It would get deleted. I actually at one point was locked out of my account for 24 hours because I'd had too many flags, but it was really difficult to like censor myself when I was trying to engage regarding this very specific video that in its nature was kind of problematic in terms of like what TikTok is okay with. So it was, so I'm really hypersensitive to it now. I try to keep all of the comments and stuff that I do and the captioning, everything is very PG, which is pretty silly. I'm just here for the free beer and I just will, you know, I'm just doing my best.
No, I get that. And it's super hard for you because your music is so transparent. You know, you don't want to censor that. You want to just be honest. And that's what you do with your music. Like the lyrics are very unique. They're clever. They're funny. And TikTok, you got to back off. You are so transparent with your lyrics. And that's why I think so many people love listening to your music, including me. What's your songwriting process like? I'm curious, do the lyrics usually come first or does someone present you, you know, music and you're like, okay, I'll write the lyrics on top of this. I know it's different for every artist. So for you as Sad Alex, how does it work?
Yeah, I get asked this a lot. And I think there are some artists and writers that have a process that's really similar every time. That's pretty like that they have a whole thing that they work through to get to the product. And for me, I think it's also just comes from starting as a songwriter. I didn't try to ever put my process in too much of a box because you can walk into a session and even if you came in with an idea, they might want to do something completely different. So it's a lot better in my, from my experience, to be a little bit more malleable and to be able to think quickly and change what you thought you were going to do. So I've literally done it and continue to do it every kind of way. I had a session with a friend the other day where we had a concept, we wrote a song on that concept, but then we decided that like the melodies could be better. And so we rewrote, kind of reusing all the lyrics and stuff, but rewrote entirely new melodies and flows on top of it. And so it was kind of taking this piece of clay that had been molded into one thing and molding it into something different. And that for me is really, really fun. And I think actually when I was a little bit younger, or not, just like a little less experienced writer, it would scare me a lot when you would go, because I like to be in control. That's kind of, that's what my therapist says anyway. Control of things. And I think when you go into a session, there's some sort of comfort for me and for a lot of people I know that, like, if you have an idea or something, when you're going into a session, it makes you feel like you have a bit of a safety blanket in case, you know, it's crickets in there or else if people are having trouble getting the ball rolling. And so when I used to come up with an idea and then someone would be like, yeah, I don't really like that, let's do something completely different. That at first used to give me a lot of anxiety, like, oh my God, what if I don't have any other ideas? Or what if I'm not going to be as good in this other direction that we're going than I would have been in that one? But now I really like try to challenge myself now, because I've been writing for a while, and any way that I can change it up and almost like trick myself and see what I'm capable of. It's kind of like sex, you know, if you've been having sex for 10 years, whatever it is, you can't keep doing it the same way all the time. It's going to get really old. So you're like, whatever, like, yeah, let's try it backwards and upside down. I don't know. Like, this could be a cool thing.
Oh my God.
So I think for writing, like, I continue to like to be sort of surprised in what the process is. And I've really done it in every single way that, and there are some that I like more than others. At the end of the day, it's all writing. As long as it gets to a product that you and or the artist is happy with, that's all that really matters. It doesn't really matter how you get there, you know?
No, you're right. Great analogy there too. Like, everything's spot on. No, I get that. Yeah. And I do feel like with most writers, like you're saying, they've kind of experienced it in all different ways. But there are some people that are like, no, I write the lyrics and then they create the song around it. Like, that's how I do it. There's no other way. So it's interesting to hear if people have preferences or kind of just like go with the flow, which I feel like would be easier. But, you know, I'm not a songwriter, so
I don't know. Interesting to hear. And selfishly, my honest, selfish opinion is that if you get too precious with your process, I think it might be a sign of insecurity on your capabilities, or maybe it does mean you need more experience or something, or maybe it doesn't mean that at all. Maybe that's me being narrow-minded. I think there's probably some insane, like, I haven't worked with Bon Iver, and he probably does some crazy, like, maybe he has some crazy, like, process that's like, you know, a whole thing that works for him. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what it is. But I do think, especially just from the songwriting side, when you have to be in different rooms every time, I think versatility is a major strength.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like that's fair to say. But like you said, you got like Bon Iver and Taylor Swift, and I don't know who else is probably like, dude, I've done this process for 10 years and I refuse to switch it. It's like, fair.
Exactly. I can't speak for what their process is. And maybe it is like, there's probably some massive writers that had a very consistent process, and that's dope. But, you know, I think it's just different for everyone.
You got to be open. I feel that. Mm-hmm. I agree. But speaking of other people and songwriters, who would you like to collaborate with? Because personally, I don't know how you feel about this, but I would love to hear a Sad Alex and Black Bear collaboration. I'm sure you have your own list, though. So who is on that list? I just feel like with the lyrics you come up with, he could just spit some fire like right in the middle and it'd be like, damn.
That would be sick. And actually, like, it's, you know, I don't think it's such a far-fetched thing. Like, I have a lot of friends that work with Black Bear, and he's incredibly talented, and that would be super fun. I feel like I had a similar, like, when I had Just Mike hop on the One That Got Away thing, it really, there's something about that like dope male like verse flow thing that adds such a really cool, like, a level of coolness to the song that I am unable to achieve on my own, which I really appreciate. And same thing like when I've worked with Duckworth or whatever, like, there's, it's just like automatically makes me like 15% cooler, which is so dope because I'm such a loser. But
no,
I think like, I mean, I don't know, the level of collaborations, it varies according to like what I would want. Like, in terms of like songwriting, like, I would love to be in a room with like Ed Sheeran, just like in terms of like what we're talking about to watch. Like, I think I'm not even saying that Ed Sheeran's my favorite artist of all time, but in terms of like, or John Bellion or something, like one of those writers that I really writers and producers that I really respect. When I used to be in studios with people that would outrun me, it used to give me a lot of anxiety and insecurity. And now I love it when I get outrun in the studio. Not to sound like that bitch, to be like, it doesn't happen that much. Like, I'm just like I'm a pretty fast, like self-sufficient writer. And I like that about me. But then every once in a while, I get put in a room with somebody that like really has something that flips it, like the script for me. And it's so sick. And so I'm pretty confident that Ed or John Bellion would do that for me. And I would love to just learn and be a sponge and be able to see like that happen and be able to improve my writing and my work as a result. Like that would be so sick. And then on like there'd be like my favorite artists of all time to work with, like Tom York, like Radiohead stuff. Like, oh my God, I would die if I had Tom York like singing like, oh, like on my song. Like I'd be so, I would be dead. But then I don't know. There's a lot of like, there's so many great artists out there right now. Like I would love to do something with like Lauv or I don't know. There's so many. Whenever I get asked this question, I forget every artist's name that I like. And that's just, you know, that's just how it be with me. There's tons of collaborations that I would be like excited about right now.
I think it's a great answer.
I don't know if that was a very eloquent answer.
No, it was. I actually like that because sometimes people are just like, bang, bang, boom. That's who I would like to work with. Thank you very much. And I'm like, oh, okay. But with that, you're giving me a little bit more here because you're like, well, maybe I could learn from Ed Sheeran. Like maybe that's not my favorite artist, but his songwriting process, everyone has to give him props for that. And there's something I feel like everyone can learn from him.
A lot of times, like for example, for these artist feature things, sometimes you are in the room with them and you get to work with them and whatever. But with like for Mike on this song, like I wasn't in the room with him when he wrote his verse and tracked it. Like we're friends, like we were just texting the other day and everything, but like you don't always get to be in the room. Like sometimes with these verses and stuff, it gets sent out to their person and they track it and they send it back to you. And that's dope. That's great. But it didn't necessarily get you guys to get in the studio and kind of collect your energies together or anything. There are different types of collaboration that have different, you know, purposes, pros and cons, like whatever it is. And I think right now that like my first thought is just like, damn, to be in the studio with somebody that would really like just push me and put me like that excites me a lot more right now, maybe in just like my tired post weekend brain. And I'll probably like regret this answer tomorrow. I'll be like, damn, I should have said like so and so.
No, but there's always next time to be like, oh yeah, so and so. But like so-and-so. This answer was more in depth than so and so. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So no, I love that. And it's so true. Like I would say most of the time every artist is on their own crazy schedule, especially like, you know, the biggest artists in the game right now, they're not going to have time to track or to be in the studio with every single person they're collaborating with. It's just like, all right, here you go. Cut your verse. Bam. Exactly. Okay, great. So I feel like there is a different energy that comes with, you know, actually hanging out with the person. And I love hearing the stories of being like, oh, it was crazy. We were both doing shows in LA and we were actually able to spend a couple hours together and kind of like hash it out in the studio and then record, which, well, is definitely way less likely than the other option. So yeah, you're right there. And I get that. But speaking of energy and kind of being with other people, I know you're performing at No Vacancy in LA, such a cool space. So thank much you. Stuff has gone down there. Yeah. A live show release event for your EP, November 17th. So if you're in the LA area, be sure to go check it out. But what can fans expect from that show? I know you'll be performing some songs from the EP and there's some special guests, but what can you hint at and what will people, you know, see and be able to experience with you on that night?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it because it's my first like true headline show since being back from, we're not back from COVID, but since things are reopening after COVID and everything. So we are going to be able to like really brand it to be a lot more Sad Alex. There's like, it's going to be really cool decorations and interactive things that you can do and like get pictures and just things that are like, we get to have a lot more fun with making it feel like mine, which is really cool. And then the people that are going to be playing with me, which we'll be announcing in the next couple days, are people that I work with and like maybe feature on songs. So it'll be a little bit more like stage collaboration with people jumping around, like the whole thing. to be able to share the EP and to be able to play all those songs. I might even hint at some new songs too. I've added a couple covers, and so I really get to present a whole body of work and sort of the versatility as a result of that. It's going to have some really fast upbeat stuff, but then I'm going to do my piano ballad moment too. So it's just going to be very fun. A little bit of something for everybody.
I love it. I feel like they're going to get the world of Sad Alex in one night. And what more can they ask for, really?
Yeah. And I'm making like a little world and everything. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know people that are listening right now, you know, maybe in the LA area and they like know one song, or maybe they're just going to check you out after this episode. What do you want them to know about Sad Alex as like a brand, a world, an artist, a collective? Like, what do you want them to know if they're just checking out your music now? Just, yeah, anything about Sad Alex that you want to share, just to give them more of like a little bit of a backstory?
Sure. Well, Sad Alex, I mean, what the first thing is that it wasn't an arbitrarily chosen thing, even though this emo sad trend is definitely really, really hot right now. But Sad is actually my last name. Well, Saad is how you pronounce it properly. It's a Palestinian, like, so Middle Eastern name. So to choose the name Sad Alex was actually me trying to connect more to my roots and be more honest with myself, and that projects into everything with the music and the brand as well. I've circulated through a lot of different artists' names and attempted branding and trying to be, and those are the key words, being trying to be all of these different things and these other artist projects that I was doing. And I realized for me personally, at the end of the day, that wasn't sustainable. And the only way that I could really dive into artist stuff, it had to be as truly, genuinely me as possible. There's a lot of artists that are, you know, can do the whole like put on a cape, a crazy outfit and like persona, and that's amazing. But that's just not something that worked for me. And so I really wanted to keep everything feeling like I could just be myself. I didn't have to worry about putting anything else on. So whether it comes from the writing and what I'm saying, like all of that is like very much how I, for the most part, like how I conversate in real life, and it's reflective on my normal sense of humor and everything in that world. And then the drawings and like the visuals that we do alongside of that, it's, well, I draw all of them, so I keep it very much in house, and I wanted to keep it really simple and clean and just pink, black, and white, like colors that I like, and just the same, like really being able to just keep it consistent and simple, but like real. And there's no bullshit, there's no, you know, big fancy bells and whistles or anything like that. It's just kind of like me in a nutshell. And just, and I always want to be able to like connect with people on a very real human level. That's what I love at shows, like being able to talk to people afterwards and like just being able to make actual friends and human connections. That's what I love about performing live. And so, yeah, that's what you should know about me. Oh, that's all I really got.
I think that was plenty. I think they'll be able to take away a ton from that. And that was great. You wrapped it up so well. My last question is, when's the New York show? Because, you know, you're doing LA, everyone's favoring LA. Come on, I'm from New York. When's the New York show going to happen?
Oh, man, I would love to go to New York. New York's one of my, I would love to play a show there. It's been years since I played a show in New York. I think it's definitely something that we are trying to work out. My manager, Rob, is in New York, so I'm sure he would be stoked to have me play a show there. TBA right now, but like I will let you know as soon as I got it. Setting up, keep, you know, your ear to the ground. As soon as I know, you'll know.
I got it. Amazing, because you can't forget New York. Well, thank you so much, Alex, for coming on. That's the Tea with Alessandra G and chatting with me about everything you have going on right now. Congratulations on the EP. Everyone needs to go stream it right now and tell us what your favorite song is.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it. And this was a lot of fun. Let's do it again.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of That's the Tea with Alessandra G. Huge thank you to Sad Alex for joining us today. Be sure to stream Cry Dancing and let us know what your favorite song is off the project. That's all I have for today, folks. It's November. We're nearing Thanksgiving. 2021 is almost over, and I don't know how I feel about it. Let me know how you guys feel about it. But anyway, stay safe out there, friends, and wash your damn hands. Maybe if I